are not alone. You're not the first to go through it, and you're not going to be the last to go through it as well. A quote by Dwayne Johnson, we all famously know as The Rock. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Nerdy Optometrist, a podcast channel for all things optometry, and this is your host, Ukti Vora. Before we dive into the episode, please remember to like, share, and subscribe to my channel and share it with all your friends and colleagues. So today we're going to talk about something very interesting. And for that particular topic, I have someone such who is relatable to all of us. Everybody knows Dr. Christy Nguyen, who is a board certified optometrist and currently serves as a contract doctor for David Finestra and Associate in Orlando, Florida. And this is the second time Christy is joining us on this podcast. So you know she's a true nerd, even though we all know her as an icon, an optometrist, a brand ambassador, an entrepreneur, a mom, and she's a true diva. So welcome, Christy, and it's such a pleasure to have you back on the show.
Thank you so much, Oti, for having me back on the show. I mean, the last time was probably, what, a year, 2 years ago? But it seems forever.
Exactly. So all those who haven't checked out our first episode, I'll be dropping the link in the description. It's called Being Unconventional with Dr. Christy Nguyen. It was in 2021 that we recorded. And trust me, nothing has changed. She's still unconventional and so inspiring for many of us in this industry. And that's the reason she's back again.
So I'm so excited about this topic today because I think so many people can relate.
Yes, absolutely. So let me dive directly into the topic. But before we go there, I have to share this short story of why even I started or thought about talking about it. I have a junior optometrist, a fresh graduate, who is doing so well. He started his own practice. Now, as we all know, the struggles of starting your own practice, doing like a cold start for your practice, you have to struggle. The patient flow or that numbers are not that great. Meanwhile, when you open your social media, you will see 1 million people getting all the exciting things done in their professional life. And he started questioning his success. And he thought of like diving into different things. And I'm like, but why are you doing that? You're doing a phenomenal job of owning your own practice. But he's like, no, but you see, others are doing X, Y, Z. And I feel I'm just wasting time. And that got me thinking, this is something that even I experience it. And I'm sure we all do looking at things on social media. So today we're going to talk about how social media can help impact your overall health, not just mental health, but your well-being in specifically how it impacts in the eye care. So tell me, Christy, from your end, do you feel this problem is real? Do you feel the FOMO is real?
Well, definitely. I mean, just a couple months ago, even maybe a year ago, I mean, a lot of us were not specializing in the eye care industry. And then the next thing you know, you turn around, there's like myopia control, scleral lenses, dry eye clinic, spa treatments in the office. And I'm just like, whoa, what is everybody? Did I miss the bus or did everybody just get on the bus at the same time? So yes, I feel a little bit of FOMO. And then of course, all this thing about, black eye care and things like that. And again, I feel FOMO with that too. So I'm just like, I want to be part of that group, So yes, I feel a little bit of FOMO with all the different groups and organizations that is like happening out there. So.
All right. So you heard it directly from the icon herself, who has like thousands and thousands of followers. All already people are feeling FOMO with all the amazing things she's doing. But trust me, nobody has been able to escape this feeling. Everyone goes through this. But I think it's also very important to talk about it, especially now that everybody is on social media. Can you tell us a little bit about how do you try to strike a healthy balance between engaging in social media? Because you are there to kind of inspire and spread happiness to all of us in the industry. But how do you maintain a balance of just being positive and not making it, negatively impact you?
So what I do is I do follow some of our colleagues online. So I try to be mindful and purposefully comment on their posts to support them. But I have to remind myself each time I do that, hey, Just because they're good at it doesn't mean you have to try to go be good at it, because we can't all be good at the same thing. And it's great. I mean, let them be the guru of dry eyes. Let them be the guru of, scleral lenses, because I'm not very good at those things. And as much as FOMO as I have, I know that it's just not one of my passions. So I try to limit to just, maybe 10 accounts a day or something like that I make comments on. But then I was like, now I need to make sure that I'm looking to fill my cup. Like, what are ideas that I can use for my own content so that it can be original and it doesn't look like everything everybody else is doing. So it's good that you are watching what your colleagues are doing, but also not copying them exactly, because their audience might be your audience. So you want to come up with something a little bit different, a little bit more you. And so you're all able to share your own voice on social media.
Yeah, absolutely. And how important do you think it is to be on social media for people who are struggling that, because I know sometimes even I feel this, that the way you post or the way many people post, they're so good at it, but it does not come sometimes naturally for me to kind of post that regularly. And I feel like, you know what, I'm going to take a break at this time. Or now I'm feeling it, I'm going to post every other day. How does that struggle look like? And do you face that?
Well, yes, coming up with new content is always a struggle, because sometimes you don't have the spark. For me, if I don't feel a connection with what I'm posting, I generally just skip that day, because instead of putting out bad content, I'd rather just put out good content. It'll connect with more people. So usually, as long as I connect with one or two people, that's all that matters. I'm not trying to reach a huge audience, but then again, I am at the same time. When I sit in the exam room and I'm seeing my patients and I'm telling the same things from patient one to patient 10 of the day, that I can reach thousands of people instead with that same message just by putting a post out. I'm reaching people across the globe here, encouraging and inspiring people to go get their eyes checked who haven't been in for over 10 years. And they secretly private me, message me in the back, on the back end, and say, "Dr. Christie, I've been following your content and I know you keep stressing eye health and I feel so bad. I know I've been neglecting my eyes, but I'm finally making an appointment to go see the doctor this Friday." I'm like, yes. I'm like, yes, I did. I made a difference in one life today. So that's what I strive for on a daily basis, to make the impact on that one person. So it doesn't matter where you are with social media. Again, you can reach hundreds, if not thousands, of people that you cannot reach in your exam room. And I pride myself on just working like 4 days a week, because it keeps my work-life balance better. But within that time, I still have 3 days and I still have the time between patients that I'm seeing that I can go out and make a difference in terms of messaging, and putting my voice out on social media, whether it be commenting on somebody's post or putting my own content out there to share with other people.
I think you made some very good points, which I want to highlight, because sometimes like you are a natural when it comes to like, being on social media. We'll get on the struggle part, but like at least for the audience, it feels like, you're naturally out there. But there might be people who feel that, no, I don't want to be on social media in terms of creating content. But you said one very good thing that you don't always have to create a content. You can always comment and show your presence. And that is something which I really emphasize to people I talk to. I'm like, it's okay if you don't want to create content, comment on it. Like, applaud the person who has taken the effort, just be there. And that also is a huge support. And people will know about you because you are reading it or you're making yourself out there. Any thoughts for people who don't want to be on social media, but they still have to be?
So, I mean, you can be on social media without actually putting your face on camera or even in the photos. You can always take pictures of things that you are speaking of or do videos of things that you want to share about. So you don't actually have to be in the
Post.
imagery. So again, there is a posting part which is going to put you on social media, but like you said, you also want to comment and engage in your audience with your audience, whether it be through other people's posts or even behind the scene with through private messaging, because that's again where you build connection and networking and just creating that bond.
And I know we did talk about this a while ago, and even when we met in person, that sometimes creating that 30 seconds of content might take 3 hours, and you'll be like, oh my God, this is exhausting. I can't do this. Tell us a little bit about your content creation struggles.
So I kind of have to get inspired. And sometimes I go through a rut, just like writer's block. Sometimes I have content block and I just can't come up with any ideas. So that's when I try to go through social media and I listen for sounds, for music, for different things that other creators are doing. And I don't always watch my colleagues because there's not that many colleagues that are out there creating content. I watch it from other industry leaders, whether it be photography, videography, music, dance, art of any kind. So I take inspiration from other people's content and I put a little bit of a spin on there to kind of share a little bit about myself or about the eye care industry. And I do that so I can learn because you can't learn if you're not looking and trying to find new ways to do things. And you have to experiment. Sometimes I experiment and it's a flop. Sometimes it's not even your fault. Sometimes it's, social media's fault because it doesn't put out the content the way you create it. And then when you hit post, it takes away certain things that you put on there. So you're like deleting, reposting, delete, repost. And of course, people are seeing each time you repost it, they're seeing a new thing and they're like, wait, why is this person keeps like reposting the same content, but nothing's changed. I'm like, oh, so that kind of happened to me today with some glitch going on. But after a while, I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna put it out. Whoever sees it, sees my post, and we'll make it work.
Well, yeah, I am glad you did point it out because sometimes it feels seamless in the front, but the struggles are real. And I also wanted to highlight one other topic, which is, of course, talked multiple times, but it's also important to talk and address today, is imposter syndrome, right? Like, we all are putting so much content, or we are trying to do what we like in whichever way or format possible. But there's always this feeling that you're not good enough. Do you feel that?
Yes, and I don't know if it's the new algorithm they put out there, but sometimes when I don't get as many likes or engagement on my post, I'm like, maybe my post doesn't mean anything. Maybe it's not hitting, reaching the audience that it needs to reach. Should I even continue to do this? Should I just stop? Like maybe I don't know. Maybe they're bored with me. Maybe I could just stop on social media. So I'm like, I don't know. But then, I'll get a couple of like behind the scene texts going, Dr. Chrissy, don't you ever stop. I'm totally watching your content, even if it's just me. I'm like, you're so nice. So it's like, don't pay attention. Yes, it hurts sometimes. And, of course, I look and I compare myself to some of my other friends who have like hundreds of likes on their posts and like tons of engagement. I'm like, why can't my audience do that sometime? I know when they see it, they tell me when they see me in person, but they're not showing me the love online. So I feel like I'm such a loser. So I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I'm sure other people feel the same way. And then I'm like, that's why, you know what? At the end of the day, I was like, you know what? I'm sure that one person liked my post today. That's it. Somebody shared my post. That's okay.
I think that is phenomenal. And actually, while I was doing a research for this episode, right, and I was thinking of what to name it, and there were like so many names that came up for like, how to post or position this episode. One that came was like from likes to loneliness. And I think that was so apt because sometimes we are so trapped in this whole likes and followers. And I went through a phase where I would like open my Instagram every few minutes to see, oh, someone liked. Oh, the minute you post, you keep on like my entire focus was like, do I have more followers? Do I have more likes? How many people saw it? How much? Then I actually had to consciously decide. I'm like, I'll just post and keep my phone away for an entire day. It's okay what happens, whoever sees it, let me just breathe and enjoy the process of posting things and having going through that anxiety of the likes and the comments and like shares and repost. So I had to consciously like stop myself and I'm like, why did I even start doing podcasting? Was to enjoy it and not focus on the likes.
So I think it makes perfect sense when the day is busy at work and then I can't touch my phone. So then I'm not constantly checking to see what are the updates on my posts. So I totally feel you there. Like, so it's a curse. I think it's a curse being a content creator.
But then, how do you manage, like, apart from these content creations and the struggle you said, right? But do you feel that, do you ever feel this pressure of likes and subscribers and followers? And if yes, how do you manage that?
Well, it's like yes and no, because I started this journey not looking to grow an audience. It grew on its own. So that kind of took me by surprise. So I've never been the person to go, my goal was to hit this many followers by this time. I'm not that I'm not that driven. My goal is just to reach as many people as I can through my message, whether it be just, like I said, one person across the world or even just 10 people. So I'm not looking, it would be nice to have a bigger audience. It would be great to say, wake up one day and say, oh my God, I got 10,000 new followers. That would be amazing, but what would that 10,000 followers do for me? Would they be the kind that would support me in my business? Would they be the kind that would support me in my content? Would I get some kind of paid collaboration deal with them? So what will I get out of it? Because if I don't, then what, why would it matter that I get 10 more thousand followers if the thousand is loyal?
Right. That's very true, and I liked how you kind of described and help us better understand, like, don't get trapped in the number games, because having, say, 100,000 followers doesn't mean you're going to get more value out of it compared to someone who has 10,000 loyal followers. So I'm glad you kind of hit that point really well. Did you ever experience any negativity in through your post or through your content creation? Can you share about that, and how did you deal with it?
I think I've only had like maybe two, maybe three like negative comments. And it wasn't even about what I was posting. So that kind of took me off guard and say, well, why did they even post that? It had nothing to do with what I posted. So sometimes it's just their comment on what my image that I post. And so I take that and I was like, block, delete. And that's basically it. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because I'm the type of person that if I surround myself with negative thoughts, it start to permeate and then it start to seep in and it makes me very groggy and like angry. So if I just delete, I'm just like, well, it's just that one person and their one thought. So delete.
Love it. I like that, we're also talking about the negative things, because we already know the good parts about social media. And as you already highlighted, the good thing about connecting people and making a difference in one person's life, maybe as much as possible, like trying to reach one life at a time. But these negative things do happen to everyone. I'm going to say this out loud and clear, but it's important to kind of block or delete and not let it impact you, because I'm sure we all go through that self-doubt and question, like, why did that person make that comment? But we forget to look at that 100 likes that came along with it. We just focused on that one person.
It also depends on what you share. So people who are more controversial, they're probably going to get more hate messages
Right.
because what they're putting out can go either way. So that's why I always like to share more of the positive side. Sure, there is a negative side, but why focus on that when there's so much more beauty and positivity around? So focus on the happy stuff. Yes, sad stuff does happen. I get sad, I get frustrated, but I'm not going to post about that day in and day out because that just makes you look like somebody who can't deal with it, and then you're sharing with the entire population. So, I mean, social media is very powerful. You can put something out there. Yes, negativity is going to draw in more attention, but in the long run, it's going to drain you because you're surrounding yourself and you're encouraging people of that mindset to continue to engage in your content for that very reaction. So, I don't want that. I rather have few reaction or a few interactions as long as they're all positive, because that's the kind of message I want to spread.
Yeah, that's very good. And again, I think another amazing message that you shared about mindful posting or mindful content creation or even content consumption, because sometimes we might not create that content, but we might get looped into those negative discussions or topics where you have an opinion and you get upset about things, where it is good to have an opinion you can feel, but don't let it impact or affect you, because social media is quite polarizing at times, because there are people with very strong opinions and you might be impacted positively or negatively. So being mindful about it is, I think, is a great message for everyone that is listening about it.
Thank you.
So I know we did talk a lot about social media, and you have another thing that I wanted to ask is the trend is constantly changing. It is something that is really difficult for me to keep up with. How do you keep up with the trends, and what are your tips and tricks there? Or do you struggle to begin with?
I struggle all the time. I have friends that I connect with who are, really big on, oh, they just changed the algorithm again. I'm like, what? I was like, I'm just still putting the same kind of content out. If people like it, they like it. If not, I'm trying to shift things around. But I don't try to keep up with all the trends because the trends, that's what it is a trend. If you put out good content, the good content will continue to make an impact on people's lives. So if you keep trying to hit the trend, you're going to be like, okay, so somewhere you're going to fall off the train and not even be on the trend, because again, it's constantly changing. And to keep track of like all these different platforms, that's crazy. You know, there's no way I can do that. I have a life outside of social media. I may seem like I'm always on there, but I'm not on as much as you think, because I have, you know, I work, I have a family, and I love to watch Korean dramas. So, you know, I can't do all of that if I'm constantly on social media liking other people's posts or commenting on my own posts. So there isn't a lot of time for social media, and then there's much more time on having a life.
I really, really liked how you said that, you know, how you keep your balance and like trying to, and I think this is something that we had also discussed in our last episode. I highly recommend everybody to check that out as well, where she suggested, and I think that was a great recommendation. Social media is definitely exhausting and it is like too much. So try to select your social media where you want to kind of create your content and stick to those maybe one or two platforms, because it's impossible to manage all unless you have a marketing agency doing that for you, then that's great. But otherwise, I am sure Christy can attest to the fact it's a full-time job.
It is. And I mean, you can be on social media like literally all day if you allow it. But where would that leave you? Why are you living not in the present with the people around you? And why are you putting yourself through, you know, this platform or any platform like for an extended amount of time? I mean, I understand some people work and that is their job, but again, you only work from like 8 to 5 or whatever. So clock in your time, then clock out, you know?
That's wonderful to kind of like box your time in the sense, okay, I'm going to spend, say, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and make it productive use of that time, even though it might feel for people that, oh, she's always on social media. But I think that's a very, if you can do all of this mindfully and still make others believe you're always on social media, that's an amazing tip for all of us.
I know, people are like, you're always on there. I'm like, am I?
This is so amazing. I have to actually tell one another discussion or like a chat I had with one other friend. She's like, okay, you know what? I want to be on social media, but I don't have time. I'm like, you scroll post for like 1 hour. Forget creating content. You can start with commenting, right? You're already scrolling it. Just put a like or just put a comment so people know you exist. Like, you can start there.
If you had to make just like 5 contribution to your post, it doesn't have to be all right back to back. You just pick 5 throughout the day that you want to leave a meaningful comment. That way your audience sees it, their audience sees it. So that's 2 different type of audience seeing your comments. So you're gonna get more engagement, more followers that way, because that's how I get a lot of followers. They see me commenting on somebody else's post, not even following my own. But once they follow me, now they're going to see my content as well. So it's important to make it, don't just like for the like, because then you're
Yeah.
just going to get another number within the likes. But if you leave a comment, which not a lot of people do, you stand out much more. And when you do it consistently on somebody who has a large platform or a big network, now you're going to be more memorable to their network, because they're going to say, who is this person? Who is this Okti? She keeps leaving some very good comments. I think I'm gonna follow her. The next thing you know, it start trickling, you know, you're gonna start snowballing. So that's what I want people to understand, is you just want to make sure you're not doing it without thought. So put
Right.
thought into who you want to comment on, and leave comments where it's gonna make an impact.
And I loved how you said, like, you just need like 5 things in a day. It could be a comment, it could be a like, it could be a post, it could be like just taking a picture and leaving something with a positive message and like restricting a number. It could be 5 for you, it could be 2 for me, it could be whatever. Because I can bet everybody is scrolling social media at least for 30 minutes a day. I would say, I'm sure the number is much high, but
Let's just be honest with ourselves.
I
minutes, sure, spread out throughout the day, maybe more like an hour. But like I said, if you do it in small little chunks, it won't feel that way, and you'll feel like you're constantly on, but you're not. So I try to do, just little short bouts, and I was like, oh, now I gotta go do something else. So I try to set my time, and I say, okay, you just started. You can go through like 10 posts. So I just kind of keep a mental note. Oh, you hit 10 posts. Okay, get off social media, go do something else. So it's also good for your eyes, with our 20/20/20 rule.
So this is Dr. Christie, like coming with content like on the
You inspire me, T.
But this has been fun, and I think I'm sure everybody listening to it will kind of also understand and not feel lonely or alone in this struggle. Trust me, though, it feels easy. And for those who don't know, also can check out Dr. Christie's previous episode where she said she is an introvert, though it was very hard for me to believe. But I can tell you, and I can assure you this, if we both can do it, everybody and anyone can do it. But just be a little bit mindful and don't run behind the likes and the followers. I think just enjoy the process.
Because we met in person, we did that one video, but remember, we did it like really fast and nobody could watch us.
Absolutely. But I
Like,
think we did talk.
get this dancing right, Upti. I'm not doing it. This is the second time you were staring at us.
Yes, and but that's also courage, right? Like we just thought about it and we were there together. We're like, let's do it. So
Right.
sometimes it's also taking that chance and doing it versus overthinking about the process that, okay, I'm going to make it perfect. Nothing is perfect. Let's just be more real, more raw. And people like that. People like to see you versus the filtered version of you, I would say.
I think we did great. The video turned out great.
Absolutely. But now that we're talking about social media and all the different lingos, I'm going to kind of dive into my game segment. Nerdy Optometrist podcast is no fun without the game segment. I want to check your knowledge about the different lingos that does exist today. So we're going to play a game
Okay.
called Boomer Lingo. I'm just going to say the different words or acronyms that are out there, and you have to either guess the meaning or tell me what's the full form of it.
Okay, because I'm not very good at this, but okay.
Let's see. Let's see. I'm sure you'll get most of them. Easy. To begin with, FOMO.
Fear of missing out.
Perfect. IMO or IMHO.
In my opinion.
Perfect.
In my honest opinion.
Yes, it's in my humble opinion, but I give it to you. It in my opinion is perfect. FTW. F as in
For
fancy.
the win.
Oh God, see,
Yes.
you are so good at it. IRL.
Oh, in real life.
Perfect. See, you're so good at this. All right. So now these are some terms, and you have to tell me how do we use it. Okay. Flex.
Can you spell it?
FLEX. Flex.
Oh, flex. Like flex your muscles?
It's flex. Now, it depends how you use it. How do the younger generation use it?
That I don't know. I'm so not hip with these terms.
Okay.
Pass.
No, I
What
can
is
give
it?
you a clue. I'll give you a clue and see if you can pick it up. To flex or to kind of highlight your work.
Yeah, don't know.
Okay. It basically means to show off or boost your accomplishments.
Gotcha. Well, I guess if you're trying to flex and show off your muscle, same meaning.
Okay, salty.
Salty? Man, my a little like 12-year-old mentioned that. I hear them talking about it. They make fun of me all the time. They're like, "Mommy, you don't even know." I'm like, "I don't know. I'm not hip. I don't know."
So, okay, so I'll give you a context. So how they use it is you being salty.
It's like I know, but then I don't. It's like I'm trying to think of the word. Is it a top salty? I don't know.
It's like being irritating or being irritated about things or bitter about things. Like stop being salty about something.
All right. Yeah, I'm not very good with the words. I
But you're very good with the acronyms
think
question.
it's
Last
because of
one.
the social media.
Last one, lit.
Oh, that's so lit. That's so happening.
Yeah, perfect. Good job. That was fun. You did phenomenally well.
See, the thing is, I have to clarify. See, I look young to a lot of people. I mean, I have people guessing that I'm in my 20s or even late 30s. I have to remind people that I am 43. I'm not as young as I look, so I don't know a lot of these hip terminology with these.
But trust me, you did phenomenal in this game, and it was fun. And it's also sometimes like even I had to at times Google it. I'm like, am I making sense of what I'm understanding out of these words that they're using? But before we end this episode, thank you, Christy, for talking about all these amazing things, because as I mentioned, it's so important for us to also address the impact of social media and how it affects our well-being. Do you have any takeaway message for all my listeners?
Takeaway message is just be yourself, take it one day at a time and just have fun with it. If you're not having fun, then it's no longer something you should be doing. And don't let other people's journey outshine yours, because it's your own journey. It can be slower, it can be faster, but just you can look at other people's journey, but just don't compare yourself to their journey.
I think that's a beautiful message, because currently we live in the world where we tend to compare, even though it is unintentional and unconsciously, subconsciously, you tend to compare. But I loved how you said, like, be yourself and don't compare yourself, because your journey might be unique, different, and beautiful. And as you have mentioned earlier as well, you are unconventional and you're inspiring everyone else to be unconventional and special as well. Thank you once again, Christy, for your time. It's always a pleasure to chat with you and get inspired with you.
Thank you so much for having me, and yeah, I have fun.